Yahweh bless you. I thank you, Father, what a privilege it is to get to talk about you. And we thank you that we come to you through your perfect Son who poured out his blood so that we can call you Father. And he sits at the right hand, and if we humble ourselves, one of my clients says, if I humble myself, Christ will take this blood that he has in a golden dish. This isn't literal, but this is what he was explaining. He has a basin, a golden basin, full of the blood that he spilt for me. And if I humble myself, going before him, now obviously we're already saved, we're already the temple of the living Elohim. But if I humble myself, he'll take that blood and he'll put it on my forehead. Now I can go to the Father. And he's just explaining, this is what he does in the morning. And so Father, we thank you for your word and for helping us run our race in a way in which to win. And we thank you for us being obedient to your word. If you love me, you'll do what I say. John 14:15. John 15:14. You are my friends if you do what I say. So we thank you for helping us manifest the Holy Spirit, the Ruach Kodesh that is inside us. So if anybody would like to speak in tongues, interpret or prophesy, please do.
I'll speak in tongues and interpret. Yakubiliana eata satekea tu moson, Ukwiliana ebeti meatu beati ata abioti, Ukwiliana eati beati satameatu. For of a truth I abide within you, I have given my Son for you to be saved, to come unto me on bended knees, to bow to me in order that I may lift you up.
There is a time and a place for everything. You've heard this before, my children. You know this. But also know that those times and those things can change rapidly, daily, nightly, every second. Be ready. Be ready to change your path. Be ready to change your thinking when I guide you. I will tell you when to go and when to move and what direction to go in. Know that I will support you wherever you go as long as you are, find yourself staying within my will.
I'll give a word of prophecy also. Know that I see many of you looking at your circumstances and your situations and you don't realize you are. If you were really looking at me in the eyes, you would not be thinking about these little things. Now, they're big. They're very, very big. They're very important. But they're not bigger than me. Remember that. In the book of Amos, Yahweh said, who created the cluster? So there's these seven stars, which we call Taurus. And who did the giant? And here's these stars. And later on, these people are worshiping these things. He goes, the creator, who are we going before? As you consider these things, and you look up into my eyes to consider, who are you? So, at the beginning, I would like to, so we're going to imagine, I'm going on a trip. I'm going to go to Venice, Italy. I'm so excited. So excited that we're talking to you about me going to Venice tonight. I'm going tomorrow. My flight's leaving, right? And have you ever been on an airplane? Have you ever tripped anywhere? No. So if you're going to go on an international flight, if you're humble, you'll ask somebody that flies internationally a lot to get tips. So I think my mom told me to go to Guy. Guy travels a lot. Talk to him. But here I am. Aaron, what are you taking to Venice? Well, I should ask. I got all my stuff right here. Would you like to see what I'm taking to Venice? Can't wait. I got a lot of lotion to take care of my skin. What's going to happen if anybody tries to take this on the airplane?
You're going to lose it. They're going to take
it. No! I need this for my skin. What are you going to say? There's things not going through TSA. How dare you! Who do you think you are? I didn't ask your opinion. I'm just showing you what's going with me. I can't be hurt my heart. Ouch. Okay. Well, good luck. But you're not going with lotion. Some other things I got. Some props. I got this thing because it said it was made in Italy. So I wonder if I could sell this. Is this going on the airplane? I'm going on an airplane, man. Other things. Now, how harmless is this? This is just a fancy letter opener. Why can't I let that? That's ridiculous. I can wrestle with the airlines, and I'm going to need this for my scented candle. If I eat a lot of frijoles when I'm there. I can smell it. I need this. You're looking and going, and then also, well, I got this too, because I'm going to meet one of my brother-in-law. He's never seen a judge. It's just a 410 revolver. Is any of this going on the airplane?
No.
How do you know that?
Because we read the rules.
Well, probably the experience. And so Vero and I, with her mom returning to Argentina, the night before the flight was stressful because we're trying to get her ready. So we're weighing things and, oh no, things are overweight. So here's her mom, Vera, trying to take care of her mom, weighing the bag is too heavy, got to readjust things. And it was stressful. But is it better to be stressful like that or showing up at TSA going, it's not going through? I don't care what you're doing. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, all of our life is going through a fire. And you will suffer loss, I will suffer loss. Because I don't think 100% of my life is accumulated for the next life. I miss it a lot. We watched a movie last night, and there's this father who's very irritated with his son because the father has accumulated all this businesses. And he tells his son, don't be an editor. Quit your dreams. Come run my business for me. Why? Because the father goes, what's the point of having all this? You got to leave it to somebody. Where's the father's hope? Not the next life. This is all I have. This is his vision. Is he thinking about the TSA going through the fire before we meet Christ? No. And I'm not a hypocrite. Neither do I most of the time. Now look at it, probably 9 out of 10, maybe 80% of my day. Is that what you did today? Let's just evaluate this, Aaron. How much of that was for him? Oh, you had good intentions. Okay, good intentions. Well, at least you get organized, right? This morning, as I was praying, Vero came in and blessed me. An idea came out of nowhere. Tonight, before we go to bed, let's ask each other, how well did you wash his feet today? How'd you do? No, I got my retirement account. I'm paying bills. Hey, buddy, your retirement account's not going on that plane. It's not gone. Your house isn't gone. Your family members aren't gone. It's just going to be you, Aaron. How'd you do today? Well, I didn't do very good. I'll do it better tomorrow. Hey, when are you going on this flight? Do we know when we're going to meet Christ? Do we know when we're going to die? Do we know when it's the last? No, we don't know. And he's okay. So what's going to survive through the fire? And what is it going to be like to meet him? And so turn to Daniel chapter 10. That's page 856 in the Rotherham. Try to get an idea. And this is new. All of this, most of this is new to me. And so the lead singer for Switchfoot, all these great lyrics. I dare you to move like today never happened, the Switchfoot song. Another song was, this is your life, are you who you're supposed to be? This is your life. And I remember hearing that when my life was not right. And I'm listening to it over and over. And I told him, I said, I think it saved my life at one point in my life. And he goes, every one of my songs is three fingers pointing back at me. I'm helping people, but it's about me. So this teaching is about Aaron. You got sober is not necessarily alcohol. Are you ready for this meeting? And I got to tell you, I'm not ready for this meeting. I mean, I'm getting better. Is somebody what is it going to be like to meet Jesus Christ? Well, we're going to start with Daniel, a prophet, meeting a representative of Yahweh, and we're chapter 10, verse 5. Let's just get an experience that maybe we can relate to. And is Daniel a holy person?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And even as we were praying this morning, I was reminded, is Daniel doing things right? Mm-hmm. Is he a prophet?
Mm-hmm.
Is he holy? Is he separate? Is his heart right? Yeah. How can he go into the lions then? Because this life, I'm not taking any of this with me. Joseph was able to endure the things that happened to him because Joseph was focusing on the new heaven and earth. That's why Yahweh used him. And that's how he did it. It's about the new earth that's coming. And it's the same way with all these leaders. How could David tell his companions he's not going to kill Saul? Are you kidding me? The guy who's hunting us like a partridge? Now you got a valiant man who volunteers his life to go kill him with you, and you go, no. Well, that's not how you become popular with your army. Why didn't you kill him? I'm a prophet. Yahweh told me not to. Not good, boss. What was David's hope? The resurrection. The resurrection, the new earth. The point of David doing all these things and why he could handle the wealth is because it's the resurrection. This life is gone, man. This is it. It's going to be over. My grandma's 102 years old. I asked her how fast it went. I remember when I talked to her, she was 94. She goes, boy. And I heard other people say it, but so now in chapter 10, 5 through 10, if somebody would read that.
Then lifted I up mine eyes and looked, and lo, a man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with the bright gold of Uphaz, whose body was like Tarshish stone, and his face like the appearance of lightning, and his eyes were like torches of fire, and his arms and his feet like the look of bronze burnished.
Got a good tan.
And the sound of his words was the sound of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone beheld the revelation, and the men who were with me beheld not the revelation in truth. A great terror had fallen upon them, and they had fled.
Where did they go? These Babylonians. Wait a minute, where are you guys going? Who's with Daniel? Okay, so they fled. Go ahead. While hiding, and then they went and hide. They hid. They're behind trees and bushes. Go ahead, in verse 8.
Jack, why don't you read that?
Verse 8.
I therefore was left alone and beheld this great revelation, and there remained in me no strength, but my freshness was turned upon me into disfigurement, and I retained no strength. So then I heard the sound of his words, and when I heard the sounds of his words, then I myself came to be in a deep sleep upon my face, with my face to the earth. And lo, a hand touched me, and roused me up on my knees and the palms of my hands.
And so as far as I know, the people that are with Daniel are unbelievers. Maybe, I didn't say that, but he's with Babylonians. And I think this is Babylonians. No, this is Cyrus. Excuse me. So this might have been Persians. But anyways, the point is, what was the effect of meeting one of these messengers? He like passes out. He faints. What is it going to be like to meet Christ? Hey, how you doing? I got a lot to say. I don't think I've been preparing for this meeting. Could it be, what are you going to say? What are you not going to say? What are you going to do? Are you going to kiss his feet? And in my whole, and then here, what happened to Daniel when he met this? The other guys ran. They didn't stand up. I'm not bound to that guy. No. And I think it's going to be the same thing with Jesus Christ. When lightning and thunder and Mount Sinai, you don't think Yahweh can get Obama on his knees? He can get Obama. What was the name of the wicked woman, the really evil woman?
Christina Kirchner.
And Yahweh could force them on their knees. That's too easy. I'm going to scare you till you pee your pants, Kirchner. And I believe there's a meeting. And what happens to the righteous one? Daniel, is he scared? Are you kidding me? But what's Daniel's hope? The new earth, the resurrection. If I die, what a way to go. And that is what we should have every day. When is the last day of your life? Today. Today is the last day you got. And this is the last page of your life is today. That's how we should live. What did you do today? That will give you strength. And that will help you. And if we prepare ourselves for strength, I think so many times I've been a fool because I think I can handle more. And he goes, you can't handle more, man. Aaron, you're weak. No, I'm not weak. I'm not going to smush you. It's like a four-year-old that's going to try to carry something. You can't do it. Turn to Matthew 28. I love this one. That's page 33. Matthew 28. So that's what a prophet, Daniel, when he got to meet this messenger. That's not Christ. Because in Hebrews, what does Yahweh say about Christ and the messengers? He goes, there's messengers, and then there's the Son of Man. For who did he say to the messengers, my son thou art, today I've begotten him? No. And so that's just one of the chief guys. What's it going to be like when we meet Yehoshua HaMashiach guy, Christ Jesus? 28, let's see here, get the page. And so this is after the resurrection. And we won't go there, but I'll speed things up. Verse 62, the Pharisees said that somebody's going to steal the body of Christ. They're going to say he was resurrected. Put some guards. They go to Pilate, put some guards in front of it. And so, let's see here. And so Pilate, he put guards. Who's guarding the tomb? Warriors, gladiators. These are not accountants. Because they're going to be guarding something, right? Okay, here they are. All right. And now we're going to see in verse 2, so as after the resurrection, verse 2, Christ's body is in there. There's these guardians. Are you kidding me? Are things tense between Rome and Israel right now? Pilate being forced to crucify this guy, his hands forced by the Jews? Do you think Pilate wants to put out that fire? At least you're watching the Passion of the Christ, and they show this tension. Yeah, Pilate's going to take care of those guys. What's going on? So everybody's going, what in the world's going on? Here's these warriors. They're going to come steal the body. I'm going to kill that guy. I'm going to do this. And here, what kind of Romans are those? I don't know. And somebody would read verse 2 through 5.
And lo, a great commotion occurred, for a messenger of Yahweh descending out of heaven and coming near, and had rolled away the stone and was sitting upon it. Now his appearance was as lightning, and his clothing white as snow.
So where were these guys? They're in front of the stone. He shows up. Move. I don't know. Okay, so what's happening to these guys? They just, didn't talk to him. Verse 4.
And for fear of him, they who were keeping watch were thrown into a commotion and became as dead men.
My dad did a teaching. They're playing dead.
Yeah, possum.
Is he still there? He's still there. Who's playing dead? Warriors. And this is in front of who? Not Yehoshua. This is not Yehoshua. This is somebody, obviously, a very higher up. You know, who rolled the stone away? He imagined the messengers in line for that one. I'll do it.
Yeah.
And so in verse 5, but the messengers answering said unto the woman, not to these soldiers playing dead, to the woman, be not ye afraid. What would have happened if those guys got up? It probably would have been killed. Do you think Yahweh's messengers are going to, we don't want to get into the politics. No, there was a time that was very unusual, an exception to the rules, that Yahweh warns Israel, his messenger is going before and he will not listen to you. So, what does that mean? I don't know. But don't provoke this messenger that's going before you. But in here, he says, be not afraid. And here, what were the women doing? I don't necessarily know. But I can imagine maybe they're on their face too. Turn to Revelation chapter 1. Page 252. And so before our lives go through the fire, what is it going to be like? The word's not, it's not really specific. What is it going to be like? Is it going to be a meeting? I like to think that the Yahweh and Christ can control time. Because how are you going to go through the fire of billions and billions of people? I have no idea. How are you going to do that? That's a lot of time. It's like a time machine. I mean, that's the only way I can think of that. A time machine, you can stop time, whatever. But what is it going to be like? And then Yahweh started backing me up. Aaron, what are you going to do? How are you going to be? There used to be a time in my life I would have walked up to Christ and shook his hand. I thought, I don't need to get on my knees. I'm the temple of the living God. And I think I had good intentions, but I was very great, not gravely mistaken, but mistaken. Revelation chapter 1, 13 through 17. If you look up at the right page, in verse 13 starts, and here's a description: in the midst of the lamps, one like unto a son of man, clothed in a robe, and here's all his feet, and his breasts, and his gold, and his hair, and his hair is white. And then I think this is one of Vero's favorite. What is ojos?
Fire.
De fuego.
It's what?
His eyes are on fire. He looks and you see fire coming out of his eyes. Who's saying this? Who wrote the book of Revelation?
Yahweh.
Well, yeah, who scribed it?
Oh, John.
John. Yeah, so Yahweh wrote it, but John, and we know that because John says it. But here's John, and let's see here. We go down to... you get to see all the rest of these things about him. Verse 17, what happened to John when he sees this?
Fell down, dead. has yet.
And he laid his right hand on me and said, don't fear. You know what? These two occurrences, it's almost like you better get down, but now you can get up. You better kiss the ring. It says, kiss the Son, lest there be a wrath. Can you imagine Yahweh if we just walked up to his Son? Hey, how you doing? Do you know what this guy did for you? Have you watched the Passion of the Christ? And he's never stopped mediating for you, Aaron, your whole life, you knucklehead, and you're going to walk up? You better get down on your face, Aaron. Are you prepared for this meeting? No. Because if Daniel fell down, if John fell down, if these gladiators fell down, what's going to happen to me? I don't know, but I better be ready to get down. But if we're prepared for it, great. And that's faith. I'm ready. I'm getting closer to meeting you. And the fire in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you turn there, page 167.
What?
The 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And so there's I was witnessing to a guy, and his daughter was contemplating suicide, and it was serious. And I'm like, and I didn't know him very well, and I'm going, hey, you better take this very serious, because it's going to be on your hands. You got spiritual war going on, and this and that. And later on, we're talking, and I said, you know what can help you, because it's going to be a hard talk between dad and daughter. He's going to have to say, we got to. And I said, imagine the rewards that are before you, because to have a confrontation like Paul did with Peter. Who are you, Paul? If you're thinking about the resurrection and the new earth and about Christ is watching this whole meeting, it will give you strength. And I said, think about the rewards. He goes, I don't need rewards. And then he went on this monologue why he doesn't need rewards. And it sounded like something his pastor says, I don't need rewards. I'll do it for Jesus anyways. I said, speak in tongues. Well, that went out. Well, how convenient. The things you don't want to do, you can't. And so we had this talk, and it wasn't that we're looking at it, and he was done, and he didn't want anymore. Okay, you don't want to help. I'm not going to. I'll go do something else. But here's the rewards. And then we talk about the fire we're going to be going through. It's going to the TSA. Hey, I got to start thinking, what's not going with me? My friends, my parents won't be there. My wife won't be there. What's going to be there? It's going to be me, and then we're going to read about this chapter verse 13. If somebody would read 13 through 16, actually 12 through 16.
Chapter 3,
12 through 16.
But if anyone is building upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work shall be made manifest, for the day will make it plain, because by fire is it to be revealed. And each one's work, of that what sort it is, the fire itself shall prove, or will prove. If anyone's work shall abide, which he built, a reward shall he receive. If anyone's work shall be burned up, he shall suffer loss, but shall himself be saved, through thus as through fire.
And then the next part, know ye not that you are the shrine of the living God? And before we had this memorized, that's verse, but act accordingly. This life is not about making friends. This life isn't about, it's not supposed to. Now you get to choose. You can live like an animal, like that movie last night with this dad. Here's his whole empire. He's got to give it to somebody. Okay, you got your reward. But this life is a job audition about the next life. And he's encouraging us that this. How do we know if Yahweh told you to confront this person to help, like let's just say weighing your mom's bags. If it was somebody else and it was a different situation and they didn't want to weigh their bag, he would say, it's not going on the plane. Do you want help with this? And if they said no, all right, but I'm not paying for another plane ticket. That's on you. You can do that, right? I mean, so we'd say, oh, if you don't want help. But the scriptures is the fire. If you have things in your life that you won't compare the scriptures to, it's going to be burned up. It's not going to go through the fire. And he shows us all these things. And we're supposed to take all of it to get a conclusion of who Yahweh is and who his son is. Vera and I were talking, and I was looking at this and going, when we take one scripture out of context, it reminds me of when like a Democrat will take one post by President Trump and paint a whole picture of this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Or Malay. Look at this guy. Look what he said about Rosie. He called her a fat cow. Anybody who knows President Trump or Malay goes, look at his whole life. We won't even address Rosie O'Donnell and what he said. We would say, look at the whole life. And the whole life, the fire is this. Are you fireproofing your life each day? I'm not doing a very good job myself, but I need to get better. And with my wife, and saying, you gave us a covenant. And what was the covenant? And the covenant before we got married, we're brand new at this. Now it's up to us what we build. You gotta have an introduction, but it's up to you. I'll let you date my daughter. It is my daughter. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. What are you gonna do with it? Are you gonna build something for me on a rock, which is the word? Or are you gonna build things that aren't gonna go through the fire? And so, in Jeremiah 38 verse 19, Jeremiah through this book is going, guys, do you want me to tell you what you want to hear, or do you want me to tell you the truth about the preparation? And Judah was getting ready to go through the fire. And can you imagine the captivity and going through this? And Zedekiah in Jeremiah 38 verse 19 stops Jeremiah and says, I'm afraid of the princes that have been carried away in Babylon. I can't go because the princes are in Babylon, what they're going to do to me. Jeremiah would have said, you should be more fearful of the God who's warning you. And as I say that about Jeremiah, how many times am I more worried about what people are going to say about me than what he's going to say about me? And that happens every day. I'm a salesman. At work, I tell people what they want to hear. But here's Jeremiah, and Jeremiah stayed his course. He didn't go to Babylon. He could have. He could have had a vacation, but he didn't. And how did Jeremiah endure the new earth? The new earth, the new earth, the new earth. And this life will be over sooner than later. Or it could be, possibly. Now turn to John chapter 21. And while you turn there, I will... There is in Matthew 19, verse 20, and I used to mock this guy. I was ignorant. But a rich young ruler comes to Jesus Christ and says, good master, or my master, what must I do to inherit life, age, abiding? And Christ says, do the Ten Commandments. He goes, I did it. If he was lying, what would Christ say? Get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Was he right? Yeah. And this guy in Matthew 19... if there's anything we should memorize about him, he goes, what do I lack? Are you willing to ask Christ today what you're lacking in life? What idols do I have that I'm not going to let go of? And I got to go, I would love to tell you guys I'm there. I'm not there. I can do a little bit. I can do a little bit more. But here he is. He goes, what do I lack? Christ says, sell your stuff. Follow me. What did he do?
He went home.
He said he was very sad. Where was his treasure? He was not thinking about the new earth. And Christ said, you'll have treasures in heaven. But if you've never imagined it, if you've never seen a brochure, how can you get excited about it? And so why doesn't Yahweh tell us more about the new earth? Probably because he wants you to produce faith.
Yeah.
And he wants you to use that imagination to you come up with something. And one of the things that I had before I met my wife is I've been 13 years of witnessing sexual purity, raising the standards on my obedience, at least for me, and witnessing. You don't even touch a woman like a wife. You don't touch her like a wife. Where does it say that? It says it right here. It's implied. You don't touch a woman like a wife, and you're the temple of the living God. Whatever you do to your body, you're going to be held accountable. forces. And these things are coming out of my mouth, and I'm going, this is getting more difficult. And so that when I would get exhausted, for some reason, the thought of having somebody in my life gave me comfort. And I didn't know why. Because to me, the last thing you want is somebody to stab you in the back again. I tried it, but no, I'd get this peace about this. And I would go in a reverent way. When I did songs, I would sing, all of a sudden I got this peace. I would say that, and this happened several times. I said, will you tell me about her? Every time I asked, do you know what the response was? No. You tell me about her. And I would sit there and meet her. She's this. And he expected faith. You use that imagination. And you grow up. I don't need to cut all your meat. You tell me about her. He is waiting for us to produce faith. And when we produce faith, there's connections like Bluetooth, like internet. All of a sudden, we start getting connected to all kinds of things. Why? The purpose of my life is to obey and produce faith. And when we do it, man, we feel really, really good. Why? Because we have that fellowship. In John chapter 21, also in Luke 9:59, and this is a tough one. It says Jesus Christ says, "You follow me. Let the dead bury the dead." Is that how you become popular with your family?
Nope.
Jesus Christ will just say, "Verrill, follow me. I will, but my sister's just dead. She just died. Let me go bury her." He goes, "No, follow me. Let the dead bury the dead." And here they are going, you can't wait 5 minutes. But Jesus Christ did this with Lazarus. He obeyed. He obeyed, and he obeyed, even though his friend was going to die. It says there's two people, this is Dr. Werwolf said, it says Jesus Christ loved. The people say it's John. It doesn't say that in the book. It never says John was the one he loved. Traditions say that. But the scripture says Lazarus he loved and Mary he loved. I think there's one other. But Lazarus he loved. And so Yehoshua obeyed. Why don't you come? But this guy, what did he do? I don't know what happened, but what would have been his mistake? If you're not ready for the new earth and going through the fire, you're not going to do it. Have you ever been there? You're just asking too much. I've read 15 chapters today. I've witnessed for two hours on the phone. It's just too much. And I had that with it. I said it over and over again with 9/11. Christ asked me to stay up that night, and I said no. I didn't say no. I'm just going. I just got done doing fellowship. I'm exhausted. And then, man, I just aborted. I missed that one. Matthew 6:21. We'll come back to John chapter 19, verse 21. 21 verse 3. Jesus Christ had been resurrected. He'd come back. He'd breathe on him. Receive ye Ruach HaKodesh. And what's going on here? He's preparing them to grow up. Aaron, grow up. And chapter 21 verse 3. Somebody would read that.
Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went out and got up into the boat, and they and during that night they caught nothing. But
and so we can look at this and go, what's going on here? Where's Peter's treasure? I can relate. I got bills to pay. I don't know what to do. He just left again. He didn't tell me to. That was great, and there was a neat thing in the Chosen, where I think James goes, Peter, come on, man. Peter's kind of wavering. He's getting irritated in one of these episodes. And James goes, remember, you're not called to fish anymore. You're a fisherman. And Peter went, yeah, I still don't know what the heck that means. I don't even know. What does that even mean? Fisher. What does it mean? He will meet your needs. He will do it. But here's Peter. And why does he go fishing? Other people follow him. I don't know, but when he's corrected in verse 15, Christ in front of everybody corrected him. It says, Yahweh disciplines a son in Hebrews. If you're not being disciplined by him, maybe you weren't a son today. maybe you were. It could have been. But here this is Christ. It looks like he's picking them. Do you love me? Three times, do you love me? Are you fond of it? And here he is being grinded in the mortar. Where is your treasure? Peter, are you going to wash out like the guy in Matthew 19? What could have been that guy's future?
Yeah.
I don't know. We don't know. That maybe it could have been that Yahweh's desire for the guy, the rich young ruler, or whoever, the rich guy, maybe it was Yahweh's desire that he was going to become an apostle. We don't know. All we know is that he missed it, and maybe he did. We don't know, though. And here's Peter. What's happening? Oh, wavering. And I'm going to say that Peter had an advantage. Because if we go back to Matthew chapter 19, it's page 21. And so, Peter's mind was on fishing. Maybe it was bills. Maybe he didn't know what to do. Okay, it's not malicious. Hey, boss, just tell me what's going on. And Christ does. He comes back. You. Oh, I forgot to read it. But in John, he tells Peter, you follow me. You follow me. Have they heard that before?
Yeah.
Follow me. And then he goes, Peter, before when you were young, you went wherever you went. You wanted to go. Now you have grown up. Follow me. You do what I tell you to do. And Peter goes, what about that guy? Focus, Aaron. You fulfill your calling. You do all the word. You wash yourself with all the word. Not just your favorite books, Daniel and the Gospels. Not just with certain books like Genesis. It's everything. You cover yourself and clean yourself. Become holy like a priest that's going to actually go before Yahweh. And if a priest was actually going before Yahweh, an Aaronite priest, would he take it very serious how clean he was? Would he put the blood on his right thumb and his right toe in his ear? Did that make sense? No. He, a real one goes, I'm ready for this. And what would happen? And so that's what we are to do with the Word. Wash yourself with the Word. Prepare for the fire. But here's where I'm going to say, we'll go up to verse 21. And I guess we're back to where we were. Jesus Christ... He goes, treasures in heaven. Now, Jesus Christ is going to say it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to go into Yahweh's reign or his kingdom. And everybody's thinking it. Peter's going to say it. Verse 27, would somebody read 27-28?
Then making answer, Peter said unto him, lo, we have left all and followed thee. What then shall there be for us? And Yahushua said unto them, verily I say unto you, as for you who followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall take his seat on his throne of glory, ye also shall be seated upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel.
With Peter, who told him that? Face to face. How many of those other guys went, Peter, thanks? Could they hear it now? Mm-hmm. Now they know what's on the line. You got freedom of will, Peter. Judas, you got freedom of will. Right? Was this a promise that was Judas here? I don't think he's been delivered up yet. What did Judas choose? He missed it. But with Peter, with these things, he could go back and go, what does this throne look like? And I believe Yahweh waits for us to use our imagination. Start painting. What is your future job going to be like? What are you going to do? And it says that where your heart is, your treasure is. If you've never gone there, we're getting ready to go to Europe. If you don't watch one video, one YouTube, or you don't look at any of the places you're going, you don't pack your bags, does that glorify Yahweh for paying for that? No. How did he pay for us to go into paradise? His son. He gave his son to give us this chance.
Yeah.
And he told Peter, a throne. And Peter, I believe... with this illustration, Peter had an advantage because these other guys didn't have a position as far as I see in the scriptures. He didn't say you're going to give up, you'll be an accountant and you'll do this. But why did Peter know at the throne? Why did he know about that throne?
Because he was told.
Because he asked.
Because what?
He asked.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Have we asked what will be worth this? To wash ourselves with your scriptures, to prepare ourselves, and we could lose family, we could lose friends, we could lose our job, we could get sick, we could be locked in prison. But Peter asked and saying, what position is it? And Yahweh trained me with my own wife, going, you tell me. And I would, it was like walking into a completely empty white room. There's nothing in there. And I'm waiting. Just do something. He goes, that's not how faith works. You do something. And I did it one time. I started imagining my perfect house. Because what's better than my house? My house was this treasure. I can look at it. I worked so hard to get this. And he said, you look at your earthly house and you can go to work, Aaron. Where are you going to live when Christ comes back? Where are you going to live on the new earth? And I had no idea. He goes, is that faith? Mm. And I went, no. He goes, how are you preparing to have endurance to go through the fire of this life if you don't even know where you're going? You're not going to. And so he had me sit there and design what is a perfect house. And I ended up inventing this perfect house that had a beach that you could go scuba diving in. On the other side, there's mountains that I could go fishing in. And I got my own airport so my family can come. What else do you love? I love sunsets. So the west is to the prairie. I love my sunsets. But on the east, what do I like on the east? I love the tropics. Here's the tropics, and this is, and I'm sitting there and I start designing. How big is it? Well, I don't need anything that big. Aaron, is that you? No, I want big. I want really big. I want it big that I can have parties for you. You can host things at my house. Oh my goodness, yes! A conference room where David could come and give his testimonies, and Samson can be there. And I want a big kitchen. How about a kitchen where I can feed? And I started going into designing this thing, and I got done with it. And he said, "How's your faith?" And I went, "I feel good." He goes, "Learn what throne is before each one of us that we're possibly forfeiting at a time. Mm. It will give you strength because Hebrews 12." It says, Jesus Christ endured the death of the cross. How?
The joy that was set before him.
What was set before him? He'd be seated at the right hand of the Father. Did Christ have a coloring book of what this place looked like? Yahweh could have given him visions. But if he did, would that require faith? How many times was Christ, a little kid, imagining what the throne room of his Father looked like? How many times was that kid growing up being picked on, bullied on, an illegitimate child, and he wants to fight back, but he doesn't? How many times did he imagine going before his Father? How many times did Christ think about going through the fire? He went through the fire perfect. But that was a freedom of will. And his treasure was there. At the resurrection, there's going to be a new earth. And Yahweh's watching. He's getting stronger and he's getting stronger. And the scripture says he was not 30, he was about 30. What's up with that? We don't know. But it could have been that he's ready. He's ready now, boss. He could have been 33, he could have been 35. Yahweh can do whatever he wants. But there's a chance that Christ was ready now. I'm going to go, this guy's ready to be drafted. He's 15 years old. He can't go in the NBA. Look at this kid. Here's Yehoshua planning, and preparing ourselves. And so are we ready? Where's our treasure? Is our treasure with the most difficult persecution to me is what happened to Jeremiah. When your religious brothers throw you in prison. And they call you the Antichrist because you don't bow down to their images. What do they call me? And it was great. We just watched The Passion of the Christ during Passover. And at the end, he's having the feast. He goes, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. But I will never leave you. I will never leave you. Now, you can leave me, but I will never leave you. So we thank you, Father. You help us with getting ready for TSA, the fire. The fire, we're going to, things are going to go through, and thank you for helping us. And whether other people come or not, Noah proclaimed for 120 years, and all he had was 8 people, and one of his sons was a dirtbag. He gets cursed. Man! But if Noah's hope was in the resurrection and the new earth, wow. And who is in the book of Hebrews? Samson. here at the in the Samson of life, pastors will mock him, saying he wanted revenge. No, Samson had an opportunity. He was created. He was created to do what to the Philistines? To fight the Philistines. And here he was in a perfect area to fulfill his calling in Christ. And who is in the book of Hebrews? Samson, a warrior. Father, we thank you that each day is an opportunity for us to clean ourselves up and to raise the standards, not about the people around us, but to compare ourselves to you and the Apostle Paul, who at the end of his course, Paul didn't say this. Yahweh's the one that put this in the writing. Yahweh said through Paul, I have run my race. I am ready for that meeting. And if he would have been lying or if he had been deceiving himself, it would not have been written down into your book. So we thank you, Father, for these things and for these words. Know that my fire comes. And that meeting is sooner than you could ever imagine. To those who don't prepare, they fear and they fall dead. Even if you talk about it, where is their treasure? For behold, I have given my only son to die the death of the cross so that I can reach through this world to pull you into the new heaven and earth, to give you a life on the new earth without death and without sin because of your freedom of will. Now strengthen yourself, your weak knees, and look at me, not the world that I'm calling you. For I call every day. Don't listen to others. Listen to me and tune in. And what will happen is you will grow closer to me and they will fade out. Let them fade out because they won't be there when you meet my son. Do this to strengthen yourself because you do not know what will happen tomorrow. You do not know if you'll be in a gulag. You do not know if your cancer is going to threaten you or your family's life. You do not know if you're going to be in a horrible accident. You do not know if you'll be taken hostage. You don't know if a nuclear bomb is going to go off. You don't know if you're going to see people torn apart right in front of you. And you are thankful you don't know those things. But know this, it comes sooner. Our meeting comes sooner than you ever imagined. So strengthen yourself and prepare for that meeting and that day that you do fly away and everything that is in your backpack, everything that is in your carry-on, you will carry through. I will allow you to carry those things through, but those won't be the reward. Your reward waits on the other side. So pack your bags, my sons and daughter. Prepare with faith. I wait on the other side.